question.
Go ahead, Trish.
This is first of July.
Microphone.
This is the dumbhead commissioner. This is the first of July. The third quarter of this two-year term of for ANC 1D Mount Pleasant, and the first thing that we do is public discussion. It's now 7:13.
Note the attendance.
And we do not yet have a quorum. We have Jack McKay, secretary and treasurer. We have Dave Bosserman. And I'm Greg Edwards as vice chair. In the absence of the chair, I will try to serve. The first item on our agenda is public discussion, and we go in sequence around the room. Each person gets 3 minutes, and unless you have the support of the board for a prepared statement of an established organization. You can, let me suggest that you may wish to pass until, if you're new here, until you see what others are doing, and we will come back to you. We ask that you identify yourself, and we have, and speak into the microphone, because there is a DC law that requires us to keep a recording of each of our public meetings. Do we have a...
Do we have a microphone? Who wishes to speak? Who wishes to sing? Who wishes to play guitar?
We can start at the back this time. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, James Mathias, 17th and Irving. My first question is, why isn't there a quorum? And what does that mean for the legitimacy of the meeting?
There is not a quorum because the chair is sick. Jane Zara says she's coming and she's on her way. I expect Oliver Tunda to be here. He has a job far off, working as a contractor for the State Department.
Speaking of the devil. So now there's a quorum?
Okay, we now have a quorum. It's 15 minutes after 7, and Oliver Tunda just came in. So now we have a legitimate meeting. I think a deeper answer to your question is that each of the commissioners is sovereign and is answerable only to their constituents who elect them, and if they wish, can recall them. Do you have something else you'd like to say?
I'm good.
Good evening. Mitch Backfield, WBA, Woodner Building Association, a resident of the Woodner. One of the reasons why I'm here...
A former commissioner who saw the light.
Oh, yeah, by being a former commissioner, I assume, right? Thank you to everybody for allowing me this time to speak to you. The issue is bed bugs in the Woodner. And it's a serious issue. It started out approximately 2 years ago, maybe in one unit, one person. Then it maybe expanded to a second person or a second unit. I'm not exactly sure how it all began or who it began with. But the situation is that it's a very large building, and I'd say approximately maybe 30-40% of the units, and that's 1,100 units in that building, have some form of bed bugs, whether it's a mild case or extreme case. We have evidence of some apartments that are not cooperating. We also have some anecdotal evidence that management, Woodner management, is not necessarily being proactive. There was some issue with the pest control company a couple of years ago. It was unsatisfactory. Now they rehired a new pest control service, and we've seen some gradual incremental progress. But I think the issue is not just the Woodner. I think it's we've heard also issues in other apartment buildings where the bed bug issue is a real serious burgeoning. Actually, not burgeoning, but it's a problem that's already here. I know my commissioner Tunda is here. We've talked about some proposals for resolutions to come before the commission, and we urge you, as a representative of the Woodner Building Association, to seriously consider. I'm not sure what measures you all can take to assist apartment owners and apartment residents, at least bring this issue to the forefront and to address it in a structured, strategic way, as opposed to an ad hoc. You know, one unit at a time, one apartment at a time, one building at a time. So if there's something that the D.C. government, Department of Health, DCRA, the mayor, if there's something that can be done, I would urge the commission to explore that as an option. Thank you.
I'm going to piggyback on Mitch. I'm Holly Goldman. I'm the chair of the Woodner Building Association. The ANC drafted a resolution. Was it you that drafted it, Greg, or you?
Oliver and I discussed it.
Okay.
And after we discussed it, I volunteered to do the scribe work since he was going to be at work. But I think
the resolution. I think it does apply to all of Mount Pleasant. In a way, I think the Woodner's sort of lucky. We're a big building that's hired a pest control company, and you know, from hearing things from other people, a little more is getting done on the Woodner than in other buildings, but it's still not enough. When you get on the bus, when you walk down to the Giant, you see people with bedbug bites on them that I know don't live in my building. It's a community-wide problem that needs to be addressed, and I think the government somehow needs to come in and do something. I mean, we have tenants in the Woodner that aren't allowing them in to treat for pests. That's affecting their neighbors above them, below them, either side of them, and what's being done to do anything. We don't know if they've contacted, you know, the Department of Health, or it's hard to get results. And I think we need to band together to get them. I guess that's it.
David, could we have a report?
David Baca, could we have a report from Jim Graham's office about what's going on?
Well, I'm, for the record, I'm David Vaca, representing Councilmember Graham's office. It's a little fast for me to respond to the bedbug issue, but as for what's going on at the council now, actually we've been, at least for my part, we've been focused on some issues dealing with safety, pedestrian safety, motor vehicle safety, legislation designed to cut back on underage drinking and driving. The areas around Columbia Heights and Mount Pleasant are really kind of an epicenter for what we're trying to do with improved pedestrian safety. The motor vehicle safety, of course, is more of a citywide issue, actually is most pronounced on the highways, which are, for better or worse, rather far from Mount Pleasant. That's at this point, I think, where over the past week or two, we've been putting a lot of our energy in the Committee on Public Works and the Environment. Any particular questions? Or
what do you think of the idea of us beginning to make a list of the, since you're our ambassador to the council, or to Jim Graham's office, beginning to make a list of the resolutions that we pass that are addressed to the council, and would you help us keep track of those, at least those that, starting off with those that are of fall within the committee scope?
Well, to answer the second half first, of course I would be willing to do so. If you, especially if you're able to copy me on when each resolution is sent in for our attention, I would have something to work from right away as a list of what's been sent in on what relevant issue. So, and as for sending the list itself, I don't see what harm it could possibly do, and I think we are, or I know we're actually quite willing to receive as much feedback as we can from the community. So,
other questions from?
Well, and also this gentleman seemed to have a question as well.
Would you pass him the mic so he can be heard?
Just sticking on the bed bug issue, which isn't my issue necessarily, but if it's been raised, I would think the process would be, is this an issue that the city has a role in? And if not, then pass it back to the Widener. If it is, take it up and kick it upstairs. But I'm not sure that that has been resolved. And if it's infecting or infesting the rest of the neighborhood, then I'm concerned. So is there some process that, that gets addressed?
May I have the permission to answer? I've spent a couple of days talking with people in the city about it. We've been working on it in Mount Pleasant for 5 years. I first encountered it during an inspection of the Marconi Park apartment building just a couple of doors south from where I live. So I know it's been going on for 5 years in the neighborhood. I called up and asked a number of the building association officers about it, and I could, in just a matter of a few minutes, get a list of buildings that hold 40% of the population of Mount Pleasant where there is a current problem. What I hear is that the problem is much more extensive than that. I also talked to almost every office in the city that is dealing with it, and most striking was a frontline worker in the Department of Health who is directly assigned. And she asked me not to quote her, but she says that the city, it is expanding. Although the city is ramping up what it's doing, the bed bug infestation, our pandemic now, is spreading faster than it is being controlled. The city response is divided amongst different groups. Each group has several other responsibilities, and that just has been added. Each group is understaffed. And she said that what we need is a political will to do something. And she closed with this, that if this infestation were hitting the house owners, you can believe that the city would respond with a hammer.
Maisha Leek, I'm on Park Road. I lived here 5 years ago, and I just moved back. I've been back for a year. And I guess to speak to the bed bug issue, I live in a small building. I don't have a problem. But I guess on a more basic level, have we considered passing out flyers to the churches about how it can be brought to your home, like for people who, if it's pandemic, people who have not yet experienced bed bugs, is there something that we should know right now to prevent it? And I guess the reason why I say church is because when I first moved back, the first thing I did was find my church. We have a church on every kind of corner here. I mean, if the people in the apartment buildings are relatively low income, the place where you go to get your information is the church. So is there just like a one page that, you know, people, the Woodner would know, but I would not because I've not experienced it. This is what you should look for. Don't do this to prevent it. I mean, isn't there something that
let we can
perfect flyers to do that?
We have Oliver Tunda, Commissioner Tunda, and myself, we just call each other Oliver by first names, have formulated a resolution to take a very strong stance and start to put things together. One of the reasons that we need to do so is that nobody, the city cannot tell you what is the duty of the apartment building owners. The city cannot tell you, it is 7:36 and Commissioner Jane Zara.
It's 7:26.
7:26, thank you. So there are a lot of things that we need to do just to pull together the information because people don't know it. And indeed, it's part of the fragmentation of the city response. But if you wait, we will have a more discussion for the resolution. Any comments from the...
May I ask a follow-up question? I'm sorry. Before we begin, I apologize. So just so I'm clear on procedure, that later on in the meeting we'll discuss a resolution that was passed to deal with this issue, but does the resolution have an action item that talks about the
first
step?
We'll see. You'll see.
It has not been formed.
And it has not passed yet.
It has not passed.
It is. What happened was that people in Oliver's district have come to him, mm-hmm. and we discussed the issue together, because I've had a more experience with it, mm-hmm. and we have to put our heads together in conjunction, talking with some of the residents, and we have proposed a resolution, and it
so
will come up for discussion.
So the resolution has to come on the floor for
that's
a
right.
Okay. No problem.
Any other comments?
Regarding the issue of the bed bugs, it is really a problem. I mean, if you look at the Woodner, a number of units are having those bed bugs, and I believe it is not only the Woodner, but the rest of there are buildings that, of course, they have many people living in those buildings. Probably have, but the Woodner has come up openly to acknowledge that there are bed bugs at the Woodner. So probably we have, of course, tried the management, and management has been trying to get rid of them, but it seems their effort is not working, because as former Commissioner Mesh said, some tenants do not want to cooperate with management. They wouldn't allow management to get in there to treat their units. As a result, the neighboring, of course, units are also infected with the bed bugs. So probably what we have to do is just, if the resolution is passed, we will need the government of the District of Columbia to assist in getting rid of bed bugs, because it's not today is the Woodner, tomorrow is going to be someone else. Because if I live in the Woodner, I wake up in the morning, I go to work, maybe bed bug is on my shirt, I'm going to drop it on the bus, somebody's going to pick it up, and then it goes on. So definitely there is need for government intervention in getting rid of the bed bugs.
Jane.
I agree. I think it should be subsidized, or some policy should be allowed for government to help. And I have friends in Adams Morgan who had bed bugs, and they got real big bites. I mean, it's rampant.
We need to keep going around, because we have a full agenda too. We will be having, starting, when is the date of our mid-month meeting? Can tell us.
17th.
17th.
The language for the resolution.
We'll see it. Can we, briefly, because we need to keep moving.
I'll be brief. I've been away for 11 years, and I'm my first ANC meeting back, and so we're discussing bed bugs. I'm shocked. You got bed bugs, you stop paying the rent, you break down the door of the people that don't let you spray. If the law doesn't allow you to do that, you change the law, you talk to Jim Graham's office. There's something wrong here. I'm shocked, frankly. I'm shocked because you have bed bugs. I mean, if I have bed bugs, I don't come here and discuss it with you.
It's a neighborhood matter. And
well, then there is a public health issue here.
Yeah,
then
but we're bringing it to light. We're bringing it to light. It's about community.
Well, where's
concern?
The public health expert to discuss this? Where is Jim Graham's office doing a spraying of the whole neighborhood? Is there not yet?
We're just recognizing the problem. That's our job. To recognize problems of community interest. I mean, it may not be a fancy problem, but it's a problem.
Well, right, you know, can you go into those units that aren't allowing spraying? Can you not break down the subject to say, well, there's a certain units that are not being sprayed, and that's where the source is coming from, so then we have to have a law that allows us to do that.
May I try a little background? Mount Pleasant has one of the highest concentrations of apartments in the whole city.
Yeah.
It's almost...
Yeah, no,
what?
Right.
So we have an unusual concentration here because we have the recipients here. Next, it has gotten so bad all over the city that people are transferring it in the buses and in the subways.
I mean, and we're discussing it amongst ourselves?
Next.
You're kidding me.
Next. I've learned in the last few days of making calls that the city is very fragmented and that different agencies don't know what the laws are and they don't know what they can do. And one of the things that we need to do is to pull together the information. For example, I am told, I don't know, we've got to get together the legal sources, that we should challenge the landlords, because if they harbor a unit that is a source of bed bugs, then they have the legal responsibility to go to landlord-tenant court on an emergency basis and throw that person out in a week.
Well,
it's a public health menace.
They may not know, so don't advocate.
But we've got to. Part of the problem is that nobody in the city seems to take this seriously. We are now, on a local basis.
That's great.
To find out what the law is and what to do about it. So that's going to come up sooner. But it is hitting Mount Pleasant much more than any place else in the city because we have this unusually high concentration of apartments, including condos. So there are other issues.
But I have to see a process chain of, Jim Graham's office can do this, and then this can do this.
Hey, I think we're doing our job here.
If I may, this is the public discussion period. We have not yet reached the business portion of the meeting. Can you let us get there, please? Thank you.
Pass the... next would be Olivia Caraval. Okay, and would you...
Oh, well, I'll just introduce myself, Dan Goodman. I'm new to the neighborhood at 18th and Irving, and I won't make any further comments today.
Thank you. It's now 7:34, and we can now go to the regular meeting. To the business meeting. We start off with the secretary and then the treasurer's report.
Okay, the minutes of the June 3rd meeting were distributed on June 6th because I was in a hurry to get out of town. Are there any corrections offered to those minutes?
Hearing no objections, the chair observes that the minutes are approved.
Thank you. That's it for the secretary's report. Treasury report. On June 24th, we received an allotment of $7,861.45. That's two quarters. Disallowed expenditures totaled $901.85 of this. Those are the expenditures which were disallowed. And in every case, it's because we didn't have the appropriate invoice or receipt to go along with the expenditure. And I'm certain that we will be doing better henceforth. This disallowance was roughly one-third of our total expenditures during these two quarters. I believe this was Joe Esparza's tenure as treasurer, and he was not monitoring things as closely as he should have. To continue, I should note, by the way, that we have not heard back anything on our audit. I turned in the audit in May. Haven't heard a word back. I don't know if news is good news or not good news, but he hasn't had a word to say. We started off the year with $50,711. We've received two-quarter allotments, which amounts to a year's revenue, really a year's stipend, increasing our total net funds to $64,000. We have spent so far this year, and we're, of course, precisely halfway through the year, $4,540. Which is roughly one-third of that annual allotment, leaving us at this time with $59,000 in the bank. Now, the third quarter report, obviously the third quarter just ended yesterday, and technically the quarterly report should be reviewed within 45 days of the end of the quarter and then turned in 15 days after that. But that puts us in August, and I believe we are planning no meetings in August. which means I would like to deal with the third quarter report at this meeting and then turn it in to the auditor later this week, and he will probably die of shock on the spot of receiving a quarter report within a few days at the end of the quarter. I have a few receipts on hand. Greg, that's your ULI receipt for $35, so I'll write you a check for that for this evening.
Thank you. And I've got several others.
I will be happy to pursue all of these. Invoices for Tony for putting up posters, $50. Invoice for Albert for doing the audio right now. And invoice from Neil for $1,675. And if there's no objection, I'll be writing checks for those this evening.
Let me then say, hearing, do I hear, are there any objections to the treasurer's report? Hearing none, the chair observes that the report is accepted, together with the implicit motion that you submitted as to the auditor forthwith.
Well, this, do you want to look at the third quarter report? I mean, I have passed out the...
It was distributed by email.
Yes. It's changed a time or two. I just want to show it just for the...
Sure.
For the record.
And for the, and for our neighbors.
Yeah. Okay, this is the cover page of the quarterly report indicating our starting balance, the allotment received during the third quarter, which came in at the end of June. Our expenditures, our major category of expense, of course, is purchase of service, which means Tony and Albert and Neil. Minor amounts for other things. And I adjust this expenditure for a check which was of the previous quarter but paid this quarter, which gives me a net which matches our checkbook balance, which is to say the book's balance at this time. I appreciate permission from the commission to turn this in to the...
Without objection, the chair observes that it is accepted.
Let me show further what I am doing.
I'm generally trying to also probe you to say thank you. The commission thanks you.
And I'm fighting back. Because I put a lot of work into this, Greg.
I know.
And I am revolutionizing the system.
Okay.
Because everything that is required of the quarterly report, which is not just those spreadsheets, but all the supporting documentation and checks and the whole works, all of this is going on a CD.
I hope you'll then stay so we can consider all the draft resolutions that are as well.
Jack, I wish you could... get consulting service compensation for helping out like troubled agencies that really have treasure problems, like 70. They haven't been able to have access to their checkbook for years. And someone has to come in and rescue them. And I know it's like hard work gets rewarded, but if that expertise could be rewarded like monetarily or something, it would be a great thing to be able to institute. You know, because the auditors can be so punitive about stuff.
My intention is not only to take this down and personally hand it to our ANC auditor as an example of how these things can be done, but I'm also going to send this to Gottlieb Simon as an example of how other ANCs could do the same thing. Because I think a lot of ANCs could use a little bit of guidance about how to do this. And you can put this in a Word document so that you check on any link and the appropriate document pops up. It makes everything automatic. And I think this should make it very easy for the auditor to review our books and to pass our quarterly report with flying colors. That's what I'm hoping for. So I appreciate the endorsement given by the ANC for this quarterly report. I'm looking forward to turning this in to the auditor later this week.
Do I hear unanimous consent from the commission to thank Jack McKay for his exemplary duties? All in favor?
Thank you kindly.
So it's unanimous?
May I ask this young lady over here in the corner a question?
Okay, sure.
Which block of Park Road?
1600.
1600 block?
Yes. Don't tell me I have
that
folks
right. Which, it depends. 1653.
There's a little brown townhouse.
Yes.
Townhouse.
Right.
So that's in your district, isn't it, Greg?
Yes, it is. That's okay. Part of the there's three parallel rows of townhouses right there.
This means if you have any complaints, see him.
Oh, I see.
Thank you. And
with that, I will.
Please put in the minutes as secretary. You got the unanimous praise from the commission and thanks. That should go into the minutes, so that all eternity will have it inscribed. Now we move into the. Next is the report of the executive.
Let me raise one technical issue. You recall that we are required to pass an annual budget, and we reviewed that budget last month, but then we were required to post it and then come back and approve it a month later. This is the month later. Do you want to take that up at this time?
I think I see the commission nodding, and I would like to also note that I have received assurances from key other commissioners that this is a draft budget and that we can update it as we go along.
So it is for planning and guidance. It is not restrictive.
Okay. So everybody understands that
yes.
This is a framework, not a prison. In any case,
yes.
Do I hear unanimous consent to approve the budget? Let me see hands for this. There are five hands, so this is 5-0.
Thank you. Takes care of that technicality.
Yes. Next on the agenda is the report of our executive director.
Good evening. This is Neil Richardson, the executive director of the ANC. We focused on four overarching areas this month for some of the work that we did. First thing that we focused on was finding and this sort of goes to Jane's question a few minutes ago with Jack, to identify a bookkeeper to help Jack do some of the work. We've got two prime possibilities. We've got the Business Association has a bookkeeper who may be interested in helping, and also the Multicultural Community Service is interested in helping. Also, the Multicultural Community Service, which is led by one of Mount Pleasant resident, Lillian Perdomo, she's also interested in having their organization take the lead in being a grants manager for our efforts to put together a community grant program. I've circulated the language for both of those activities to the ANC. I've received comments back from Greg, which were well received by me at least. And I think the next step would be to get some kind of approval or okay that there is a next step, that I'd take this language to Multicultural Community Service so they can approve it. It has to go before their board. They're looking at this opportunity, at this activity as an opportunity in their civic engagement plan. So that's the first thing we worked on.
May I ask the indulgence of the commission so that each item comes up? If it's simple, let's take care of it right away. Let me see if I can state for the record, Jack, will you help with this, that the ANC 1D accepts the revised draft offered by, that previously distributed by Neil, our executive director, as a basis for advertising the position, and authorizes him to choose the best candidate so that we can move forward both of these activities with expedition. I would need a second, which for that. Oliver seconds. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, let's do it by voice vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay, it appears unanimously passed. Good.
All right, congratulations, success. The second thing we worked on, we spent some time on, is we had a very successful issues and goals meeting that Dave initiated, but I think all the commissioners had played a critical part. I know Greg's been talking about this for several years. And what we basically did, and for the public, is over the course of about 2 hours, we came up with a basically a strategic planning process where in which the ANC can better engage the community to hear what the important issues are. There's been some complaints from some parts of the community that there's not enough public time to listen to the public. One of the things that we came up with in this meeting was for having a mid-month meeting, which wouldn't be organized around a business agenda that the ANC drove, but rather it was going to be an agenda where the public could come in and actually make public comment, make many more comments like we all did in the beginning. And I think that's going to take us into a realm, talking about revolutionizing our budget process for the ANC. I think that this issues and goals meeting is also setting a higher standard for way ANCs can operate, and certainly the way that the public can engage with the ANC. And so I believe that our first mid-month meeting will be July 17th, and we'll be putting out flyers so that the community can engage on that. We're also going to try to get some refreshments donated by one of the local restaurants, so that's always popular.
May I ask if the commission would allow us to pass the resolution that funds this right now, and so we can just get this done and pass through.
Let's take that up in the normal course of business.
All right.
And I wanted to point out that if this is going to be on the third Tuesday, it would be the 15th of July.
Thank you for that clarification.
Next up, we spent some time unsuccessfully so far identifying a web developer so that we can get our website up and running so the public can get information, and it can be sort of the go-to place for the public to get updates about what's happening in the community and updates about what's happening with resolutions, and just for a better way for the community to engage with the ANC, particularly for folks who may not be able to show up to the meetings or maybe even the mid-month meetings. It's another way to get information out there. So we spent some time looking for a web developer. We still need to identify someone. So if anyone in the room, any of the commissioners have any ideas, it's a very expensive position, so we're actually, since we're trying to do it on the cheap, it makes it harder.
If you write an ad, I'll run it on some listservs. We're bound to get some candidates that'll do it for cheap.
Yeah, I'll run an ad. I'll write an ad, circulate it to you folks to make sure it's got some of the language in it. It's actually something that we talked about 2 months ago, I think, was putting an ad, and we didn't do it because we thought we had a couple folks that would be interested in it. But
in keeping with trying to do things quickly as we go along, let me observe that it appears then that, do I understand it correctly, Neil, that we do not need any further authorizing resolution because we've already passed that 2 months ago. So it's all in order and we can just simply move forward.
Okay. And then the last thing that engaged a fair bit of my time is just district government engagement, working particularly closely with DDOT, trying to find opportunities for the situation going on at 16th and Park Road construction or paused on construction, and also other issues like the transportation plan, the coming comp plan, and business development issues for Mount Pleasant. So those are the four overarching areas that I spent a lot of time on. Going forward for the next month, barring things that will come up during the business meeting, I think one of the things that we're going to talk about is certainly pursuing this bed bug issue. We're going to have to spend some time on. And there's also going to be a proposal about fielding a survey and finding out, in particular, what are some of the important concerns with residents, particularly in some of these apartment buildings. We may have issues that we don't know even beyond bed bugs. And we're going to have to create a plan, an outreach plan, an engagement plan to sort of really get at that. And then the last thing is we're going to push real hard on getting this website back up and running and developed. That's all I have.
I assume then that the commission I would like to observe that without objection, the commission accepts the report from our executive director. Let me see a show of hands briefly on that. It's 5-0. Thank you. We now have committee reports. I think we've gotten some other committee reports already. Would you, Jane?
I'd like to talk about the education committee. I think we should have, well, let me ask this in the spirit of democracy. When y'all had the mid-monthly thing that I regretfully say I didn't attend, did any interest come up about affordable housing in the area that we could do? Because I really want to do an event around affordable housing in the area. I've been asked by one constituent. I was wondering if maybe you were going to the 10 Act meeting. We could make some connections there and have them come and talk about it in light of what's going on with the DuVille.
Let me say,
that's an education report. We have $100 for it, but it'd be great to get a little more.
Let me answer by saying I asked Stormy if she would appoint me, but there's some dispute about it. I would like to hope I'm serving with you under your leadership as the chair of the Education Committee, and I look forward to doing that because I put a huge amount of effort in trying to organize educational programs within six blocks of here. And for the issue on affordable housing, you know I've spent a lot of my life on that, and I am deeply concerned that we have 12 buildings that are on the knife edge right now. And I would like to say that I'm very unhappy with the Finty administration's response to these so far. One can understand it, that they don't have much money given the budget situation. But I believe that we should devote some time to that, and maybe it could be the subject for our next mid-month meeting on the 15th. And that's just my idea. We have, I think, since we're trying to do things by collegially here, that we should hear from other commissioners for that, and actually hear from our executive director as well. Jack.
Well, let me note that our mid-month meetings are really ideal for this sort of idea, and it's kind of up to whoever wants to take the initiative to form it. If you want to do it, as far as I know, nobody has dibs on July 15th, so it's a possibility. That's the sort of thing which we can just agree on at each meeting. What are we going to do with the mid-month meeting? If affordable housing is a hot topic, fine.
So one thing that I know that Greg's done, and something that any commissioner can do, is you can have a study circle type meeting. You can convene it, or a resident convene it, and you can bring folks in who are concerned about a particular issue and talk about it, and then circulate some of the findings, some of the things that folks are concerned about, and maybe that'll lead to a resolution, or it'll lead to a method to engage the council member or the mayor on it.
Do I then hear by at least neglect that that we'll work on our first mid-month meeting on affordable, on the issue of, let's call it low-cost housing rather than affordable housing, because that has, well, and it also has a legal definition, so that I went to the ULL conference on Columbia Heights. They are leasing or renting their affordable housing units to families with an income of $110,000 a year. So I don't think that's what this neighborhood has in mind. So would you accept the idea that it would be called low-cost housing? Okay, then do I hear objection from the commission? Then that appears to be accepted. Jack.
Yeah, I did want to point out that the alternative was to have more informal meetings, because the idea here is to get community participation. It's all about community participation. And I know that Dave has been quite intense about wanting to have more community participation. So I think that would be the choice here, to have a meeting dedicated to affordable housing or low-cost housing, thank you, or a more general kind of encounter with the neighbors. Which do we want to do?
We could do both.
Yeah, we could do that. Well, were you talking about a forum where you have so-called experts in to talk to the residents, or are you talking about inviting the residents in to hear what their problems and ideas are?
Jane?
I envision both, like getting, this is just an idea, but I would love to hear from a representative of the Duville Tenants' Rights, you know, their group, and maybe get an assessment of the city from TENAC or somebody who's doing tenants' rights, but just, you know, have those as 10 minutes and open it up the rest of the time to questions and concerns.
My guess is we could do it even shorter. May I comment? You would be next, and you haven't spoken yet, Oliver. Do you have an idea? The chair should go last.
Yeah, I think like what Commissioner Jane has said is we should open it to the public after somebody who is an authority in affordable housing has, you know, briefed people as to how we could, you know, deal with the issue of affordable housing. So I think, yes, we should engage the public in the discussion of the affordable housing.
Good. Let me say that we tried this for about a year, 4 years ago. And the pattern that seemed to work is that we do invite people that have a lot of experience. Let's not call them experts. So that we don't deal in invidious comparisons between people, and that we gave them instead of up to 3 minutes, we gave them 5 minutes because people could lay out things, and what we're interested in hearing more is the discussion. And that was the choice that we made on that. So would you accept that? Okay, good. So we could invite a few people, and I know that Jasmine has a lot to say about her experiences now, and she can be pretty blunt. And I think people in this neighborhood ought to hear. We should put a big effort to getting her, and perhaps some of the people from the other 12 buildings that are in peril. Dave,
what are we calling this meeting?
We set up the we did it before where we had we decided we would do two focus forums and then an open forum, so we would circulate so that and the idea was that we started off with a focus forum. The open forum, that we only tried two of those, and they didn't work very well because they lost focus and became around current personality battles.
What are we calling this meeting?
I suggest we call it. Go ahead. We had a name before, which was a neighborhood focus forum and open discussion. How's that? Do you have a better idea? Do you have another idea? Sorry. So, I see people.
I think the title should include the topic.
Okay. On low cost housing.
Yes.
Low cost housing is now pleasant.
Yes. Let's focus on Mount Pleasant. Can we see the list of committees again? I think we've heard about all of them. Commercial Quarter, Planning and Consultation, that's the one that's set up the mid-month meetings. Web and Internet, we've heard about that. Public Safety and Security, that's an inactive committee. Except Jack is the one that is really doing that. Do you have a few words on what's going on in Paul?
There seems to be a modest burglary wave underway in Mount Pleasant. Ordinarily, we have about four or five burglaries in a month. In June, I believe we had 12. This is a problem.
Can you describe any of the circumstances people may want to know?
The circumstances are...
there are people who go essentially from house to house in the row house district, largely, looking for houses that are empty and vulnerable. They want to find nobody home. They want to find a back door open. They just look for opportunities. Let me also note that on the 12th, which is the TANAC meeting date, I accepted going to and I believe all commissioners have been invited to a meeting put on by Assistant Chief Grooms, which is to discuss the MPD's strategic plan for crime control in 2008. Just in keeping with that.
I heard that the stops were starting to happen in Petworth. Is that true? Does anybody know about that? That those are the checkpoints? Someone got it on video? No?
I haven't heard. I thought they were all in Northeast.
Okay. Then let's go to the. I saw Jack to the unfinished to the new business. We have no unfinished business, and Jack has made a list of the. Since we just talked about the mid-month meetings, may I ask suggest that we handle that as the support for that?
Do you want to have someone else take over as chair since it's your resolution?
Would you like to do so, Jack?
No.
Okay, Oliver has volunteered.
Bronze Street, if you look at the entire street, you find that the sidewalk is really...
Oh, he is asking that we go to the joint resolution.
The resolution?
That he and I put in for that. Could you wait for that just a moment, and we'll come to that perhaps
okay.
Next?
Okay.
Would you chair this portion, since I'm the presenter on this?
Yeah. Which one?
Okay. Then, I ask for recognition from the chair. Oliver?
Yeah.
Let Greg rise and make the motion.
I move that ANC 1D authorizes the expenditure of an average of up to $200 each for its mid-month meetings, the funds to be spent for advertising, extra staff support, including translators and snacks. These meetings are a priority for the staff, which should it advertise for and select consultant services to assist towards the success of the meetings. Well, is there
a second?
Second. Okay.
I would like to include that when we announce it, we do it in Spanish. I think we have to start doing that, and we should find somebody who can translate. I don't mean to be biased toward, but there's a lot of Latin people in the neighborhood, and I think they should know when the meetings are. If we're going to have translators, we should have, or interpreters at the meeting, we should have announcements put up in two languages. I insist on it.
I will accept that as a friendly amendment. Can that be added? And let's see if the executive director sees any problems in getting staff and to do that on an ongoing basis. We probably ought to do it for all of our meetings. Well, this would be for all of our meetings.
It's a great idea. We just need to identify the right people. It's a great idea.
It was. We had attempted it before, and we just fell off them. Okay. Is there further discussion? Jack.
This budget of $200, is that really going to be sufficient once you start taking on interpreters and are these consultants to be paid?
Yes.
Then $200 might be pretty light.
Would you suggest another figure, $300? This is pretty important for us to do right.
Yes, it is, and I guess I'm really asking what is a reasonable number. I don't know. Maybe our executive director could help us here.
May I just jump in and suggest that we do $400 for the first one and $200 thereafter, and if we as we get experience, we can adjust it.
I'm not sure how much the advertising is going to cost putting the signs up. I think we spend about $50 on that. I think our first course for getting food, I think we ought to go to some of the local restaurants and ask if they'll just donate some light food, so hopefully we wouldn't have to pay for that. So then it just comes down to translation slash interpretation costs, and we're just going to have to go out and find out who's willing to do it. Quite frankly, I'm going to call some people up and ask them to do it free. It's part of their civic responsibility. And if they say, well, they need a stipend, well, you know, we'll come up with a stipend, but we'll frame it around being a stipend rather than a fee.
Let me assume, you know, that you will try to do to get us the best deal you can. We've done this a lot in previous things, and I think an honorarium of $100 makes the food is expensive and has gone up in price a lot. I think we should pay the list price would be several hundred dollars for enough. And I think if we're going to get Latinos and many of the people that have not come to the meetings, we need to put on a pretty good spread. So let me urge that you aim for a budget of $100, $125 so we can get a good spread, and that will simply, in my experience, just pay for their food costs. I've done this a lot in the neighborhood.
All right. Well, yes. Food is expensive.
So may I suggest we allocate $400 for the first one and $200 thereafter, so there may be startup expenses.
Okay, and let me rephrase this to say an expender of up to $400 first time, $200 thereafter.
An average.
Up to an average of. The up to an average of is confused, is ambiguous.
Okay, fine. Does...
Is that acceptable?
Yes, it is. That just adds, if you put the word "and" in front of the $400, then I think it's going to be okay. Would you do that for me? And $400 for the first meeting. So it's just an exception. I think that clarifies it. Good. Hearing no further discussion, we're ready to vote. May I see hands on this? It's 5-0. We have a request from Oliver that... of the Brown Street.
Yeah. Yeah, if you walk along Brown Street, definitely you will see that the sidewalk is not, the east sidewalk is not really, just worn out, and it really needs repair, and I would think it is high time to fix it. A number of residents over there have expressed.
Let me ask. Let's start by reading the motion and asking for a second. Okay. A little bit of parliamentary procedure, Oliver.
Okay, that's fine. This NCD1 advises the DC Department of Transportation to give priority to repairing sidewalks on the east side of 3400 Brown Street, Northwest. These repairs should be given a much higher priority over that of the 1600 blocks of Park Road Northwest, where the residents strongly prefer waiting for a design that meets their needs. Why residents of this block...
You don't have to read the why.
Now you need a second.
I second. May I explain why the other is that... that if we're going to get it done now, the current wait for these kinds of things is several years, and so this is an attempt to substitute money from one pocket that is for another. And because I hope that we can show his constituents that that we can move on things and do them much more expeditiously.
Let me ask a clarification. This is the 3400 block of Brown Street, and that begins at Newton and goes to Oak, or what?
Oak.
It's from Newton to Oak?
Yes.
Would you mind my rephrasing this to make that explicit?
I don't mind.
It sounds like it's speaking of one address, the 3400 Brown Street, and it's supposed to be everything.
Jack, if you could just remove the 3400, and it would just be Brown Street Northwest, and that would be do the job. Just say, just on the east side of Brown Street Northwest, without qualification, because that's a...
Well, but there were other blocks of Brown Street.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the whole thing.
Well, yeah. he wants the entirety of that.
There's Brown Street between Monroe and Newton.
Ah.
So.
Okay, sorry.
So
I like the idea of Brown's, just leave out block of. I like his idea of Brown Street between Newton and Oak.
I like the notion of stating Newton to Oak rather than 3400 block. What do you think?
Yeah, I think
it's your resolution.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. Those are from Newton to Oak.
Neil has a suggestion.
Just to keep it real, I think it's fantastic that there's a resolution to be passed about this, but there's a schedule for street repairs, alley repairs, sidewalk repairs that's years long. It's not the usual practice of DPW or any of the other operations agencies to change that schedule unless there's a specific request from a council member. So that's something that maybe we can work with a council member and David to get an intervention. Otherwise, we'll have another sort of resolution that's there's not a lot of follow-through, because it's really going to take a strong intervention beyond me making a phone call or some of the individual work that you will do.
David?
Well, this goes with another resolution that I guess we haven't seen yet that says halt the work on part of the Park Street sidewalk that hasn't taken into consideration the residents' concerns, and instead use that money to work on this section.
With the permission of the commission, can we ask David Vaca to... since the issue has been raised and we're trying to work with him.
Well, I'm afraid I don't actually have a great deal of light to shed at the moment. If this is something that the ANC resolves, I will, of course, make sure that Councilmember Graham is aware of it. And I'll also pass on, if he's not already aware, which I'm pretty sure he is, that ordinarily the city is not going to alter its schedules for repavings. I do know we have some ability to alter those and have done so in the past when, owing to changes in development, some streets or alleys or sidewalks wear more quickly than expected. So we say, could you move this one forward and then move this one back because it's doing better than we thought at this point? That does happen. It's as Neil points out, it's unusual, but it does happen. But if the ANC resolves to do that, I will let Jim know, and I'll let Jim know if this is the will of the ANC, that you would like his support in pitching the case here.
Thank you. If with seeing no other discussion, call the question, a show of hands, all in favor, 5-0. I think we're moving along, aren't we? We've taken care of, what, 3 resolutions in 15 minutes?
The next one, I guess, is the mate.
Yes. we take up the 1600 block of Park Road one. I'll read it, if it gets into a contentious discussion, then I'll certainly turn over the chair, but otherwise, let's just keep moving. Everybody knows while he's doing this, everybody knows this has been a matter of some contention for a very long time. ANC1D advises the D.C. Department of Transportation to stop its plan to replace the street and sidewalks of 1600 Park Road and instead devise a plan with Mount Pleasant residents that will better meet local needs. ANC1D asks for the intervention from the D.C. Council and the mayor to force DDOT to follow the ANC laws and the executive order. I perhaps should add the words and engage with ANC1D and local residents. No, no. This, the background story of this is that somehow or another, well, first of all, Karina Ricks told me that 10 years ago, this was put on the schedule. It turns out that big things like this are put on the schedule 10 years in advance. So it's difficult for ANCs. Then somehow or another, 3 years ago, this was combined with the Columbia Heights Public Realm Plan. Then, all the discussions that have gone on about what to do on this whole design area, and there have been, it is completely preoccupied, the 1A ANC. So they can hardly consider anything else. They've had just schemes and streams of not only monthly meetings, but extra meetings and the like to discuss this. And we didn't know about it, that there was a part of Mount Pleasant that was involved. Then it occurs, turns out, that I heard from Jonathan Cass that they had a great designer that is doing a wonderful job on everything else, but not our little limb on this, which, and all what they're going to do is simply go in, jackhammer up the sidewalks and street, and replace them in the current configuration. And there have been loads of resolutions. I have been out talking with the residents many times, including Sunday for a couple hours, and they say they want wider sidewalks because they're very narrow. We've passed lots of resolutions on that. They want trees, which they can't have without wider sidewalks. And there are a number of other amenities that they would like, and they are particularly upset that nobody has ever talked with them, and this is just going to be done to them. And they don't like the idea that probably for another 20 years they're going to have the same bleak, uncomfortable environment that they have now. I hear that I talked with Jonathan Cass today, and he said that we've had an ongoing discussion about this for the last month or so, and he says that Jim is close to the point of saying that he will just ask that that this little leg be cut off. And all he needs is assurances from DDOT that it would not ruin the whole Columbia Heights public realm program. The purpose of this resolution is to try to push them over and also to establish a better relationship with DDOT, because the director, Emeka Amonome, has promised Jim Graham that he will start to pay attention to and respond and have DDOT respond and work collegially with this ANC. And I gather that this is taking some stress and strain on the part of DDOT because they're not used to doing it. This resolution is to try to push all these things over the edge. I think we're very close to that. With the commission's permission, I'd like to ask Neil, who has been working on this, if he'd be willing to say a few things.
Actually, there's not a lot I can say, although I brought it to the attention to the bullpen and the executive office of the mayor, also to senior folks at DDOT, and I think that they're getting ready to engage the council member. I think that some background is being done, background research on how they got here. Certainly at the senior level, DDOT, it kind of took them by surprise, so they're now just getting caught up. I think with a strong intervention from the council member, or even a lukewarm one, I think that we could be successful in just, again, doing what I think sounds like Jim wants to do anyhow, just construct it through to Columbia Heights, end it there, and then put on pause what we do in Mount Pleasant. That seems like what is getting ready to happen, and hopefully we'll find out by Thursday, what will happen on that.
So this, I ask the commission's support on this because there's been years of work going into this, and it means not only something for the 1,200 residents of this block, but also progress in our future relations with DDOT. Is there other discussion?
What about the use of the word force? I like it. Go ahead.
Force?
Yeah, where it says force, the mayor to
force compliance. It'd be a second full line from the bottom.
Well, they have been making these promises, including to Jim Graham, for over a year, that they're going to cooperate. And at this point, I think we need to keep up the pressure. I will accept any reasonable, friendly amendment. Is there further discussion? May we vote on this now?
Well, have we read the whole thing? Because this doesn't fit on a single screen.
Okay.
I really don't care for getting into this class warfare kick. I mean, this isn't East Mount Pleasant versus West Mount Pleasant. This is the fact that Mount Pleasant has not been consulted because its portion of this project has been appended to a Columbia Heights project. So it's Columbia Heights which is driving this bus, and we have no idea what's going on. I don't think calling in warfare between East and West is helpful.
Jack, it's not warfare, but I'm just simply reporting what people say. It may not be the case in your mind, but it is in the case of a lot of people.
That may be, but I don't think it contributes to the strength of your argument.
How about if you strike that line, the first line in that paragraph, and then say, the streetscape on the east side, because it doesn't really say.
I would accept that. Jack, will you accept that?
And take out these differences in contrast to the west side. No, just take out that last sentence, maybe.
Is that acceptable, Greg? To strike that last sentence, these differences in condition.
I will accept that. Because we have a big agenda, I want to move forward.
And the first line of that paragraph.
Okay.
I would also strike wealthier because I really don't want to get into a class.
Strike the whole line, that whole first line, and just capitalize the.
Well, in stark contrast to the blocks immediately to the west would do the job.
Good. Remove the word wealthier.
Can we call it the Carla Lopez resolution?
We really don't know that there's any connection.
The residents feel that. But
our strong point here, recall, is that Mount Pleasant has not been consulted at all in the work that's planned for the 1600 block of Park Road.
Yes.
No one has spoken to us about it. I was surprised to see this folded into the Columbia Heights plan. I had no idea. So this is being done without our involvement, and that's wrong.
Could I suggest you put streetscape on the east side is barren in the second line? I know it's slightly redundant, but...
I'm easy. I want to get it through so we can get to the other ones. Okay.
A comment here.
No, why did you?
No comma.
The word punctuation thing is a
Yes, no.
Do you want a comma?
I'm anti-comma. You put it in.
I like
them
in the quotation mark, too.
just trying to make sure that the sentence is comprehensible.
Oh, I'm easy. Are we ready to vote now?
Yep.
All in favor? Let's do a hand vote. All in favor? Jack, are you...
I'm not ready to vote yet.
Oh.
And at this point, I'm not going to vote. If you're going to vote, you're going to go vote well without my vote.
I'm concerned about getting through the other resolution.
Well, that's why he asked, are you ready to vote yet?
Well, a two-thirds vote can bring about a vote over my objection. It doesn't a unanimous approval is not required. So, well, I want to read more of this. And, for example, I wanted to find out, what is the status of permitting the left turn from northbound 16th Street? Is that going away? I've heard conflicting reports on that.
No, I have been in correspondence with Jonathan Cass on that, and he says that their office is still working on it. If you wanted to impend that to this, you're welcome to do so, but he
isn't that a side issue? This has nothing to do with this.
That Jonathan Cass recommended that we just get all we want right now is a cleaver with a promise that they will continue to fund this very soon.
Because the plans I saw, which you said were outdated, showed no sign of making changes to permit the left turn from northbound 16th Street, which is pertinent here because if you're going to talk about the pedestrian fatality, that
it has
everything to do with turning off northbound 16th Street. So is that part of this issue or is it not?
This was talking about an element of it, which is the bump out, a portion of it. Let me suggest, Jack, that we immediately after this, that we put it in, separate it as a separate resolution, and because Cass told me that he wanted something really simple to take to Jim. And it should be just this cleaver, and it's also something that would remind DDOT that we need to have a new era in which there is collegial interaction.
Could I make a suggestion that
sure.
we put a reminder in of the resolution that we had, because we had a resolution that talked about that and it talked about getting rid of that road by Sacred Heart. It was a great resolution.
Would you accept my suggestion, Jane, that we pass this as it is, immediately go to this other resolution, and I'm in favor of including that, but as a separate element.
Yeah, but maybe we could amend it as a footnote in this later and pass
it's,
this.
It's best to, I've been asked by Cass to keep it simple.
Well, I think keep it simple it would do better if we actually removed most of this text, because keeping it simple also means keeping it short.
I retreat. Let's put in what you want and get it passed.
Because
this and footnote other amendment will remind you of the amendment addressing.
Okay.
Sorry.
So will you do that? We'll just put in your amendment right now, and then let's pass it in.
My amendment is to terminate this
now
at the approaches. I think a lot of this is just, it's so much verbiage it's not going to be read, and you've made your point that we were not included in the discussion. I would delete all of this.
Well, that one of the
oops, I'm sorry, I don't want to. Not that one. See, I delete this about the approaches.
Well, that's what I was trying to include in there, because the approaches are to remind them that we still want the reapproach piece. So I forgot that I did include the approach in there. And that should be strengthened, because the approach on the left-hand turn lane is part of the safety issue here.
To go back to my first question, does the current plan include the left turn from
it
north?
Does not.
It does not. Okay, so that is a crucial statement. So let's point that out right here.
Okay.
That we want to improve.
So don't remove that stuff and just add it. Okay? Because I'm really struggling to have and the transportation study issue. Jonathan said that he had raised that with them and several months ago in a meeting, and they knew that this was that he had already protested that they are rushing on this without hearing from the transportation plan. So I thought that ought to go in. What I'm trying to do, Jack, is I make all these calls and I talk to people about what would help them in their internal politics to be able to argue.
Yes, and I'm really trying to support you in this, Greg. By making the text clear. At the moment, it's not clear what this is referring to.
Fine.
So what I would do is add something right here that says, the confusion over the left turn from 16th Street may have contributed to a pedestrian fatality.
Fine. Is that acceptable to others? Just because we're operating informally. Good. Fine. Jack, are you willing to vote now? Please, Jack.
Okay, I give up. I give up. I'm worn
Thank
out.
You.
I'm worn down.
Okay. Call for a vote. 5-0. Thank you. We're making sausage here.
Okay, now which would you... let's get to the bed bug issue.
Yes.
Can we do that? I mean, that's... Do I have...
I didn't see it.
Do I have anything on this? I don't recall... I don't see anything here.
I saw something earlier, but I didn't see it.
I sent it out.
Yeah, it could be...
And I'm afraid I included yours rather than my notes on this.
Uh-huh.
Could I use someone's cell phone and see if I can get that delivered?
I have it currently on screen.
You do?
Yes.
Can you transfer it?
I don't know about that.
Wait. We can do an eyeball-to-eyeball transfer.
And we don't have to give the why right now. We can read it and then include it later. It could be in the audio transcript.
See, the name of that thing is actually like this.
Collaboration in an electronic world. Huh?
Gee, the movies are just point of nature. Yeah,
movies, everyone uses an Apple, though.
Would the commission permit us to have go back to public discussion and on because there may be questions and discussion on these issues while this is being transcribed. I think I see nods all around for that. Does anyone have questions or ideas? Would like to comment on what is going on? What we've been talking about so far. Do I see you looking like you want to... Do you have something to add, Neil?
I know during the Williams administration, during the Williams administration, there was the bird flu virus that was attacking a lot of the crows, in particular in the city, and we sent community engagement folks door to door, particularly through neighborhoods that were really affected, giving basic information about to report the dead birds, to have the city come pick them up, and so it was treated like an important crisis. That could be a model for the bed bug crisis.
I remember that.
Thank you.
Greg, my only comment with the resolution that I read earlier, I would do a little more research besides the Wikipedia because Harvard has a really great website too. but I thought you had good information in there. But I just, I find that the more I research the bed bug issue and when it seems official, you get slightly different information from different places.
I agree. But that was just a
start. I thought what you had together was very, I mean, I liked what you had. I've been dealing with this for 2 years, really, going into it. For some reason, I seem to love bugs and learning all about them. So,
I thought it was very interesting, the suggestion that they are, that the bed bugs are developing a resistance to most treatments.
I remember Johanna Shreve said something about that. She didn't think it was necessarily a resistance. She thought we had new bed bugs in the country from what we were dealing with before.
Could be. But no, the reason that you saw, I just quickly, late last night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I got a response from Vanessa Dixon, who is one of the leading public health advocates in the city. And what I'm trying to do on this is early and quickly engage the various advocates all over the city. Because if we're going to be successful in changing city policy, we've got to seek allies all over the city. So we can do the research here. Apparently the city isn't doing it.
I mean, we need this. The city needs to be involved. We have, like, you know, and you're, very rarely do I praise the Woodner. But they're trying to eliminate this in the building. But you get people that aren't letting you in the apartment. The city needs to come in and say, look, open your door, get your stuff out. They need to treat the apartment.
The management needs, well, my experience on these things is that the management, because I've been dealing with it for about 5 years, not concentrated because there's lots of other issues, but I'm told, but we need to get the research so we know and we can cite the things rather than just an amateur lawyer going around. We need to, I'm told that when there's a public health crisis, well, then the management can go immediately on an emergency basis to landlord, tenant, court, and saying, this unit is a public health menace to everybody. And indeed, if they do not, then they are subject to damages. And you saw the Wikipedia article cited with a reference that a brother and sister that were bit in a motel got $360,000 in damages for a couple of bed bug bites. So we have court cases to back up huge damages. The laws are there.
Can I just make a comment also? One other element to this story, and we're seeing some evidence, and just something to keep in mind is an additional dynamic, and that is if management is interested in or compelling a resident to move out, let's say a problematic resident, someone who's been, isn't cooperative, or maybe he's late in paying their rent, or has been a problem, or in the building of some sort or another, and we've seen that. In the Washington Post a couple of months ago, there was an article about how there are some management companies that are not addressing basic needs in the apartments because their agenda is to try to have them. For them to leave on their own volition, so there is some of that going on at the Woodner, and I venture to guess that there's some other examples throughout Mount Pleasant. So I just would ask the ANC to consider that dynamic also. It's not just
that's why we need to research. Yeah. Nobody knows what their law says. Nobody knows what their rights and responsibilities are, and we just need to find that out. Because the city, unless we start to do this, this is a way for Mount Pleasant to take the lead in the whole city. We have one of the highest concentrations of apartments, and it should. It's. I think it's right for the ANC system to work, starting here.
Well, I would like to say real quick that the WBA, the Woodner Building Association, has met with Joel Cohen of the Office of Tenant Advocate. We are in frequent contact with him. There are some legal questions related to this issue that we just simply do not know. So we just need that insight from government officials and/or legal analysis of some sort. That's really where we're at now. Thanks.
Good. Any other comments? Okay.
let me read it in. ANC1D authorizes expenditure of up to $5,000 and sets a high priority for its executive director to formulate recommendations to staunch the bed bug pandemic, using Mount Pleasant as a test bed for our initial program. This project is a priority for the staff, which should advertise for and select consultant services to assist towards resolving this problem. I'll skip over the why, I think. Well, this is a big issue. We have the money. I will support other uses of our funds, Jane. But it seems to me we have 2 months, and we ought to get cracking on this. We may not have Neil around for much longer, and this is something where we could make a difference.
I don't think it should cost $1,000.
It says up to. Very often when we say, in the past we've said five and actually spent two or three. Okay, good.
I mean, I'm not sure what we're spending the money for. Now, if I can speak for a moment to the bed bug problem, because this has gotten some attention lately. The bed bugs are extremely difficult to get rid of once you've got them. And getting rid of them requires a true invasion of your house. It's not just a matter of bringing in an exterminator and spreading some poison like that. They are far harder to get rid of than, say, cockroaches. They put their eggs in your walls. They deposit their eggs in furniture. So you may scrub everything, and yet you will not be free of the bedbugs. They will come right back. So dealing with bedbugs requires severe actions to the interior of a dwelling. This is where the fundamental issue, I think, that we're presented with comes up. Because a homeowner is going to do what he has to do. But if you are a renter, what are your rights? What happens if you're in a big apartment building and the apartment building isn't willing to take it adequately seriously? What do you do about an apartment building where some residents aren't willing to let their apartments be invaded for the kind of treatments that are necessary? I don't know.
By the way,
I think these are the questions that we want to be asking at this time. I don't know what we would be spending $5,000 for. I think it's premature to throw money at the problem. But I think it's certainly appropriate at this time to raise it as a very difficult issue that we've got to find out how to deal with this fundamental problem of a public health problem that has to be solved inside people's homes. That's the hard part.
I'm told that the law currently on the books requires the house owner. And I want to emphasize that my neighbors say that they own their homes. Somebody owns the house, but they own their homes. And it's invidious to say that they're not homeowners. They have a home too. What I learned in the last few days is that under the current law, the house owner, including the apartment house, has a requirement to get rid of them and to replace all of the bedding and furniture. So this is not known, and the apartment building owners are trying to evade these responsibilities. I only say that's what I was told by the... So that's the reason that I think we should get... part of the reason for the expense is that I think we're going to need to get legal advice, and legal advice is expensive. And we need it outside of the city, because this, talking to the city people, they are they're not that many lawyers. The lawyers are not used to doing research very often. They don't have time to do it. And we should independently find out what's going on and really do a good job. If it only takes $1,000, great. Neil is very good at saving money. But we have 2 months to the next meeting, and I'd like to to have this as one of the accomplishments that where we have a major issue in the neighborhood and let's deal with it. It's a small amount of our money. Gladys.
No, my question is this. Does the ANC intend to publicize the fact that within some apartments there are bed bugs? Or are you going to deal with the owners of these apartments and not publicize that Mount Pleasant has bed bugs? Who wants to be associated with that? I don't think you want to do that quite yet. Now, maybe with your meeting for the public to speak.
Well, let me answer you, because I want to move on because we have other issues. The resolution only says that we publish, formulate recommendations. It does not affirm how to deal with it. My thought, after having talked with a lot of people the last few days, is that nobody knows what's going on, and we've got to get the facts. We've got to get the facts about the law, about the responsibilities, about what treatments are available, and we will then later. Perhaps some of the recommendations would be for an action plan of what we or the city should do. It's only recommendations at this point. But the problem is that people don't have the facts. Jane.
I agree, and I thought maybe something that would, not outing people about it or anything, but that we could maybe suggest to the city or push them in the direction of supplying, you know, on a needs basis, whatever's, you know, aid for families. Now, whether all the other issues about home entry and liability and who is and immigrants' rights, I mean, it opens up a kettle of worms, but it's an issue that I think we could treat sensitively.
So let me, with the understanding that that as normal, Neil will try to save money, I urge we close discussion and vote on this.
Well, even if you vote on this, you know, sometimes the ANC is supposed to represent us. And a lot of times you go out and you do things without the community's consent. I think that this bed bug issue should not be publicized. You should attempt to deal with the owners of these apartments. These bed bugs are not in our private homes. So why should we be categorized with bed bugs in Mount Pleasant?
Fine. And your fears are not part of this resolution. Quickly, because we need to.
I guess if the commission would consider including prevention as a part of the materials they do. As a younger resident, I mean, we buy each other's couches, we buy each other's old furniture. If I don't know, and this is my first time hearing about it, how to prevent them entering my home, I mean, tomorrow when my friend buys someone else's from Craigslist in Mount Pleasant, for all apartment owners.
I'm sorry, we're going to run out of time. That's the reason I'm pushing. Yes?
I really think Gladys has some good points there. We may be going too far in proclaiming an epidemic of bed bugs in Mount Pleasant. And I think we may accomplish what we need to accomplish here without being quite so inflammatory about this charge that all apartment buildings in Mount Pleasant have bed bugs.
No, it's not. It doesn't state that. It says 40%.
It could be read into this. It could be read into this. I think that'd be recommended.
The public health people say that we have a pandemic in the city.
What do you mean by pandemic?
That's their term. That means, officially, that means that you have more than 20% infestation.
Well, a friendly amendment, maybe? That would, two recommendations to dealing with bed bugs or something, you know, generic. So it's not
fine. Suggest
they don't start burning couches on Mount Pleasant Street.
Okay.
Using.
I actually think that this is a very serious public health issue, and we are, and we're falling into what groups do, where they are a little too genteel and politically correct. And I think we've got to face.
Greg, I object. I object to being told that we are being politically correct. I think we are pointing out a legitimate problem, which is that we don't know how many units have bed bugs. I think it's premature to go around claiming that there's epidemic of bed bugs in Mount Pleasant. We do not know that.
Jack,
I think we should start off by establishing what the problem is.
Jack, did you hear me accept the friendly amendment to change all
votes? And I also heard you charging me with being politically correct in doing so. And I object to that. I object to that. That is a personal characterization.
It is not.
I object to that.
I did not say that you are that way. I just say that in direct contradiction, I believe that we have a problem and we ought to raise the hue and cry. But in order to get this passed, let's ameliorate the language and tone it back.
I think instead of using Mount Pleasant, we could say ANCD1 instead of mentioning the name of Mount Pleasant. Yeah, I think.
What I would do is rephrase this to say, instead of staunching the bed bug pandemic, let's deal with the bed bug problem.
Fine. Let's. And by the way, since this is authorization, then we don't need the why. That can be all wiped out. So, just wipe.
I mean, we could remove Mount Pleasant out then. Yeah.
Well, except that we want to use Mount Pleasant as a test bed. That's fine. To the bed up in the lead line of the bed bug problem.
I'm sorry, I don't use the pointer. You got a laser pointer there.
That word should be problem. May I also just suggest that we remove the entirety of the why?
Yeah, that's where you get into trouble.
The last paragraph's good.
I'll accept. We put the word problem instead of pestilence.
I don't even heavily impact it is misleading.
This really
makes Mount Pleasant sound like a slum, Greg.
Well, actually, you know, in many parts it is. But in order to speed things along, why don't we just wipe out the why?
We need some why. We could just say bed bug infestations are a growing problem. Do we want to mention apartment buildings specifically?
No.
You'll get sued.
Oh, yeah. Oliver is saying no.
I know it, ma'am, because, by the way, I didn't recognize you. Because I said before you came in, perhaps, that I've called the officers of apartment buildings that constitute 40% of the population in Mount Pleasant. And I listed a number of them earlier on.
And most of them are...
Excuse me, I'd like to... We don't have much time. Jane.
One more friendly amendment. Okay. And since is... Okay, that's all. Versioning menace, perhaps, should be.
By this problem? Okay, situation. How about just menace? Are we ready to vote? Okay, all in favor? 5-0. Library.
Is that the next one?
This is a hot one because, and it's something where it appears that, well, I'm hoping to have a joint sponsorship of this with Jane.
While he's moving this around, this does seem to be similar to the Park Road work in that we want somebody to stop work until people are more consulted.
Yes. Let me say that that the ideas and language here came out of consultation with the Library Dynamo organization that has been assisting in the Mount Pleasant Library and the other four neighborhood libraries in which DCPL has come in and just on a top-down imposition of their ideas without paying any attention at all to the local ANCs and the and one of the reason for the money is so that we could get legal assistance because the work that has been done so far has been done by part-time volunteers on the issue, and it is the feeling that this group that if we could get a little legal help, that would go a long way in energizing people about what our real choices are.
What, who do you envision working with on this? I mean, what other ANCs in the city? I mean, is this is as an ANC capacity or a community capacity with it within our SMD? I mean, I don't understand exactly. Because in terms of legally what's going on, I don't profess to be an expert, but it's, you know, it's involving the 309 statute, right? The ANC statute, and it's also depending on how disposition, it involves the Title 10 statute, the 10801, which those bills that I sent out the testimony for today involved. So, I mean, I don't. If is the legal strategy to try to get an injunction to stop it, you know, and because you know this thing, there, we have an appeal on this very issue with Ward 7.
Yes.
So, I just don't want to. I would hate to say that there would be reproducing an effort in the white part of town, in a predominantly white part of town, when there's something that really affects a high illiteracy rate place. You know, I don't want to see competing interests or. I don't know. It just seems like to dive into this insensitively might throw money at it without sort of a sensitivity what's going on in other parts of the city that have been involved in the struggle for 4 years. I think would make us.
This has all been discussed with Robin Diener.
No, I know it's all been discussed with Robin Diener, but I've been working with her for years on it. So, but I want to know within the context of this resolution and the participation.
She says that.
No, where you see this going, particularly. Okay, it's very dear to my heart, this issue.
I understand. My hope would be that we could get some leverage through through the political element, and we have one of the best experts in the city on our staff, Neil, to help with that. On a parallel basis, talking with Diener, and it appears that they have not had lawyers. They only have had you. And they could, and you're part time. They're very happy to have you.
No, I understand that.
But they need to get some really hardcore legal advice on how to form or what the arguments could be, and that they would be used by around the city. I would hope that we could get other ANCs involved. Part of the ANC law is that we can cooperate on projects, and the project would be simply to put together an understanding of what our legal basis and our arguments. This is not actually filing a suit, which would be against the law.
Okay. I mean, I just feel like this ANC is jumping in too little too late with some money about an issue that has been going on, and there are people around town, like Robin's been devoted to it, and Ward 7 and Ward 8, you know, Anacostia's sort of straddling too, are very passionate about this. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to see us, I don't know, I just see us jumping in too little too
Robin,
late. In an intransigent, you're right, it's an intransigent process. Jeannie Cooper and John Hill, they're just intransigent about not really dealing with what the neighborhoods want.
You saw the exchange, and that is that I called up Robin Diener and said, look, it looks like we're at a juncture that if we don't move in the next couple of weeks, we will have lost it. Is it worthwhile? And she said, yes, an ANC 1D resolution and some money could make all the difference. This could be absolutely crucial in the struggle.
And why can't we join the efforts going on in 7 and 8? I mean, and make that the resolution, that we're joining the efforts of ANC, blah, 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 over there.
That was my intent in this. That was my intent. David.
Yeah, we're not jumping in on somebody else's library. This is our library, even though it's Award 1. It says Mount Pleasant on it. And anything we gain here, everyone else will gain.
Thank you, Dave.
I guess, you know, I don't really understand sort of what the clear-cut path is, because the issues that are on appeal now, they've all been defined. If there are new issues here, I mean, we can't file a lawsuit, but you're trying to stop the process, and it seems like the best way to do it would be with the citizen with filing an injunction to try and start all over again with that battle here.
Then let me, since we are prohibited from doing that, what we can do is clarify the legal situation and the arguments, which Robin says has not been done as completely as we'd like, I will say that. I know of some people that are likely to file a lawsuit that would stop this in Mount Pleasant, and there appears to be adequate basis for doing so, and this resolution helps us set that up. So this, as you probably know, I've been talking with the library folks about this for a couple of years now, and this is a crucial time. With this, I think we could make a big difference, and not only for our library, but for the libraries around the city, and not only for the library issue, but for several other issues, because it would help clarify the ANC law. This is a right place. It should not cost a lot, and we could have a huge benefit. David.
Since this is nothing to be embarrassed about, it's not bed bugs, it's just library, I propose we accept the language, the inflammatory language, as is.
Any further discussion? Can we move to a vote? Then, seeing no objection, all in favor? 5-0. Thank you. Next is we have in support of our reinvent the ANC process. We have a resolution that I worked out with Neil Richardson. And it's the survey. Neil, if you feel I have mangled our understanding, please speak up.
I'm reading.
Let's have a motion in a second. Can we do that?
Okay, let me.
Who's chairing? Are you chairing, even though it's your resolution?
Well, until you object, let's go with it. And as soon as you object, let's pass it to someone else. Okay? It can be done informally. ANC 1D authorizes the expenditure of up to, would you remove an average of? It's a trick I learned from Jack, and I've applied it everywhere. Of up to $5,000 to establish several prototype surveys of neighborhood interests and concerns, as support and information inputs to NC1D's series of neighborhood meetings and for setting priorities. This project is a priority for the staff, which should advertise for and select consultant services to assist towards the success of the meetings. The why is, since this is authorization, we don't need a why.
This seems fine to me. That is, if it's fine for the commission.
Need a second and then discussion.
Do I hear a second? Oliver, would you second it?
I'll second.
Thank you, Dave. Jane.
I would like to know from our treasurer, the grant allotment, the allotment for community grants, that's not going to be affected by all of these expenditures, is that correct? Because of the way the budget was just approved. So there is...
It does not directly change anything. The commission as a whole can look at the budget in its entirety and decide what we want to spend and where. Now, certainly as we increase expenditures for other purposes, it will tend to increase a reluctance to spend money on grants.
Well, there has been a resolution passed that we put $5,000 aside for community grants, correct?
Yes. That's my intent.
That's your intent? I don't know. I know of no resolution.
Well,
once the budget was passed.
It's in the budget.
It's a line item in the budget, yes.
So how do these expenditures that we've allotted tonight jeopardize that? They don't, because that money is to be untouched, right? It's sort of like a trust fund for the community grants.
Now, as we agreed, the budget is a planning document. It's not mandatory.
So these could essentially take away the possibility of community grants, all
no,
these expenses?
No, because we have so much money, and the total amount of all these is about $10,000, and we have 50.
And when are we going to start advertising for grants?
We passed a resolution to say we're going to do so immediately.
So I guess we'll work on that while the... I just want to make sure that
why don't you and I talk this week? I'll send the grant proposal to Multicultural Community Service. Make sure that their person that they think will be interested in managing our grant process, you know, that's okay. And then we'll field it just as soon as possible. You and I should definitely stay in contact about that over the next couple of weeks. I'm not sure what their board cycle is, what their process of getting approval is. Hopefully they haven't taken the summer off.
I guess what I'm wondering about is we could start soliciting before we get a grants manager so that and figure out what the guidelines are.
You can start formulating them now. They would have to be passed in the September meeting.
Right. I just don't want to preclude the possibility of community grants with all of these expenditures.
It is not. I give you my personal assurances that it does not. If you want, me to put it in writing, Jane, I will. Okay. Jack.
Yeah, I'm very skeptical of surveys because there are portions of our population who are very hard to reach. They're not home, they don't want to answer, they don't speak English. There are a lot of difficulties in reaching all of the population. When you talk about neighborhood meetings, you tend to get the same community leaders and activists every time. And you don't get a real sampling of the entire neighborhood. It's very hard. As anyone who has done, you know, real polling will tell you, it's very hard to do true random sampling. So I'm not sure that we are really capable of doing this.
What I was going to propose to do is, we had a pretty good conversation around with our, at our issues and goals meeting about how to do good engagement for the neighborhood, including connecting with people of influence in the neighborhood, and that may include business owners or folks who are part of nascent community organizations, building associations, and actually use this as a process, as a model for how to do good engagement, and so that we would try to get those people you're talking about. But I think we came up with five or six different ways that we could try to do it. But most of all, we have to get people of trust to engage the community. It can't be me standing out in front of the building, you know, handing out a survey in English. We're going to have to get, to some of the population, of course, I can do that. But for our Latino brothers and sisters and other nationalities, I think we need to get a couple of folks, maybe for $20 an hour, to stand out there, try to engage, try to get some building association meetings, and invite people down. And literally do a survey like that, and then we're going to have to figure out what an acceptable number is. Obviously, we're not going to get 100% participation, but what can we live with for the folks who fill out the survey? I mean, how do we know we have a good survey process, basically, at the end of the day? So,
Jane?
I thought maybe the assumption from your language is that the surveys and the community meetings are, you know, the same, but these aren't, have nothing to do. I understand that people that are more active will tend to go to the community meetings, but that doesn't preclude hitting popular. I mean, that there's no. I didn't understand why you had that comparison. It doesn't seem like an accurate one.
I've had a lot of experience with the community meetings, and I think in general they do not work. Because may I finish?
This isn't about community meetings.
Hey, Jack. I recognize Jack. Please
thank
let
you.
Jack finish.
You, because at these community meetings, you get the same hotheads who tend to control the proceedings. And the rest of the population is intimidated or otherwise just doesn't want to get into the fights. So you hear from the same people over and over again, and you do not get a fair representation. What I see from this is sort of an attempt to do what we commissioners are supposed to do ourselves, which is reach out to our own communities and know our own people. I think I do that. I think I do that pretty well. And I don't need some survey to go sampling other parts of the community to tell me about my own neighborhood. This is what I was elected to do. And if I'm not doing a proper job, the voters will change my way.
David.
As was mentioned earlier by the member of the audience, churches are a very good place to reach some members of the community that don't show up at community meetings.
Oliver.
I still don't really understand as to why there has to be a survey done. What is the point of having a survey?
May I hit?
Sure.
This is, I conceive of this as a capital investment for the commission to learn how to reach people that have ordinarily not participated. And it's not just here. It's in neighborhoods like this all over the world. This is a human situation. There is a good deal of research about how to do it. I've been trying to look at it. As perhaps some of you know, for the last 30-odd years, I've attempted to do this by reaching in to those that are down, and the word out means that they're daunted and they're out of contact. I have participated in several of surveys, and I know it's very difficult, and it's very, very time-consuming to do that. I believe that that one of the results is, Dave, you showed up at a meeting after we did a survey, and we got a lot of people to show up to that meeting because they met us in the survey.
It's outreach.
And the fact, and we did not expect it, but it turned out that you have to spend about 15 minutes with each person establishing trust, informing them, and getting them involved, and that somebody for the first time is actually asking their opinion and putting it in and is going to listen to it and it's going to be presented.
this is something that is needed to begin to build the bridge, the gap, to bridge the gap that we have here. So Jack is right that this is very difficult. I've been trying it for a long time. I've been reading about other people trying it for the long time. But it seems to me that this is a missing piece of what we must do to reinvent the ANC and to pull together a communicating forum in the neighborhood. It's not a lot of money. It's very small compared to what such projects ordinarily cost. But I think that we have a lot of people of goodwill in this neighborhood. We have an expert, a nationally recognized expert on this process in Neil. Neil may not be around for very long because he's a very talented person and we're paying him peanuts. So let's use this to see if we can make some progress on this while we've got this opportunity.
I was just wondering if Oliver's question was answered about what will the surveys be surveying? Or are we to determine that at some point? I mean, because the survey is only important as its wording and the issues that it addresses. So that's the next step. One is outreach to unrepresented population. The other is what topics do we want to promote about the surveys?
As Neil suggested, the first thing to do is that, and he's the expert on this, but he and I talked about it, and since I've been doing this a lot myself, let me start and let him finish. The idea was that we would start with a small number of examples, invite people for a longer discussion, and begin to get from them the initial ideas. The methodology here is called a snowball survey, where you learn what the questions are as you go along, and the snowball increases as a result of your experience. So rather than going in on the basis of preconceived notions, we go in and we are active or proactive and involved listeners to find out, because actually the research that I've seen on this says that it sometimes takes 3 or 4 sessions before people will trust you enough to open up and tell you what's really bugging them. So, sorry. Is that now a proscribed word? So, we have some expertise here. We also have a good deal of volunteer labor in the neighborhood. And if this is going to work, this is just priming the pump, because our budget is too small to have this kind of expenditure on a continuing basis. This is a capital expenditure for us to learn how to do something that hopefully will turn up such good results that volunteer effort will continue it. This is a tiny amount compared to what is usually spent, because it's dependent upon the goodwill of Neil, who is essentially donating a lot of his time, and other volunteers. Oliver, do you feel we have answered sufficiently?
Yeah.
Okay. If there's no other discussion, are we ready to vote? Yes, Jack.
Yeah, I just want to say that I think the problem with this is that this is taking on a very large and difficult problem with way inadequate resources. And this will end up being a waste of $5,000 and Neil's time, because it's just too hard a problem. It's admirable purpose, but this is a very hard problem.
And let me point out that we did do one survey that had significant results, which was on the recreation facility. And that worked pretty well. We got a big impact out of it. So it can be done. And that was done for nothing. So, can I call for a vote? All in favor? 4. Opposed? 1. Jack. Thank you. I'm willing to... let me see, there's another resolution co-sponsored by Stormy and myself. Yes. Would you add Stormy's name to the co-sponsorship?
the resolution is ANC 1D resolves to advise the D.C. Department of Transportation to design the Harvard Triangle intersection to allow a later diversion of crosstown traffic to Harvard Street Northwest. There's an engineer by the name of Ali who has been chopping the plans for that. I spoke with him recently. He said the time for decision is now, and he said the way that it is appearing now as a result of his discussion with some neighborhood people is that it would preclude the diversion of traffic for that purpose, and it's something that Stormy and I, and it's in her district, would like to see that possibility preserved.
What exactly
are you doing?
I'm trying to find that.
Use the mic. I've got an extract of that drawing from Ali. Of course, Greg, they may decide to extend Harvard through Asbury Park.
I don't think so. The idea of combining Asbury and Rabaul Parks is very popular in the rest of the ward because the rest of the ward does not have any big spaces, and that at the four corners would be the very largest DC park, and it would be virtually the only space that would be available to all four neighborhoods. So there's a lot of support throughout, and given that it would be a gateway to Mount Pleasant, I wonder why it's so controversial here. I think it's only controversial amongst a very small number of people, and we should talk about it more. But say again? Asbury Park is a triangle park at the just south of the building called the big white apartment building called the Renaissance. And Rabaul Park sometimes is known, it's got a statue of a bishop on horseback. It's a very narrow triangular park.
It's where 16th and Mount Pleasant come together.
Good. And Rabaul Park is sometimes known as Rat or Pigeon Park. Oh, okay.
Although most of the rats are in
Pigeon. Yes.
Five at least.
Okay, this is the intersection in question. That's Adams Mill Road on the left and on the bottom, and Urban Street going off to the right, Cannon Street coming down from the top.
Thank you.
Now, that's what that other
thank you.
Resolution is speaking of.
Thank you, Glass, for coming.
Well, but I understood. I don't need you. This is something I don't need. It's the Harvard Triangle intersection, and that's what this has to do with.
Oh, and I'm going more by the description from the engineer Ali, who said that if we stated this as a matter of policy, he would know what to do. That the current configuration is not set up for that, and in fact would require several million dollars to change, and probably, given the financing, would preclude Harvard Street from being used as a for a diversion. So just a clean, simple statement. And he says this is the optimum time because in a couple of weeks the thing will be closed.
Yes, and my question is there anything about this design now that would preclude Harvard becoming your crosstown arterial?
I'm going by his statement that he said that. And if it's not so, well, then the resolution doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't do any harm. But if it is so, he said that a simple policy statement is all he needs.
So you want to open Harvard up so it goes
to use the northbound traffic taking Harvard up to 16th Street.
This is also a crosstown arterial all the way over to the hospital center. And I've talked with people, the ANC commissioners around that. For example, Thomas Smith has a long ANC personal district just south of Harvard Street. And he said that he would sell it to... This would add some traffic, but he would sell it. He was sure he could sell it to his constituents because they would want the park.
Yeah, my concern is I don't want anything that is going to interrupt our progress toward the reconstruction of this intersection.
He said it would not, that this is the optimum time.
Then can we put that in the resolution that we do not want...
See,
this work is scheduled to be done next spring.
Yes.
And I don't want to do anything which would cut that off.
Sure. I'm relying on what he told me.
Yeah.
And if his representations are true, and I'm told by several people that I should talk with him about the thing, so I did, and he told me this, let's put it in so we have assurances on this.
Okay. Are there questions, Dave, Jane, about this intersection?
Like what it is. Like, okay, so it's to, there's that triangle park with the statue.
No, this is done by Tom.
Oh.
That was wrong. Yeah, this is...
The other end. Okay. So it would be making Harvard one way north.
It would only be allowing that to happen. We haven't brought before this ANC a specific recommendation for that. I hope we can. Because I've certainly talked to large numbers of residents on Irving Street who would love to see this diversion. But at this point, because I know Jack has some feelings on this, I don't want to engage that.
Let me lead everybody through this plan.
Right.
May I do that? Would that be helpful? I mean, there are three problems being solved here. Problem one is that traffic comes down Canyon Street and they want to go down Adams Mill Road this way. You cannot legally make that maneuver because this island extends over that way. So they're all the flock of signs saying no left turn from Canyon onto Adams Mill Road. Everybody does it anyway. They come out and they sort of make a U-turn here in the intersection and then on down. The U-turn is especially hazardous because when the light here is red, that lane is stopped, but this lane does not have a red light, so this lane keeps on moving. They are screened from view by any stopped cars here. It's a disaster waiting to happen, and yet, because that turn is so popular, people do it in large numbers every day. They also come down an alley here. They come down an alley and make a turn down here because people want to go down. This is southbound on Adams Mill Road. Gets you down to the zoo, gets you down Beach Drive, gets you down at Morgan. So DDOT is ready to redesign this intersection to permit that left turn, basically by moving the island so that people can go straight across the way you normally would at an intersection of normal design. The other issues, see this shows where that hillside currently extends all the way out here. Traffic coming up this way, trying to make a turn, cannot make the tight turn from, this is northbound Addis Mill, onto Irving Street. This has caused a lot of damage to the pavement here because trucks ride up over the curb. And that is actually the reason that the district managed to get federal funds to rebuild this intersection so that it could get... would permit trucks to make the right turn onto Irving Street. At the moment, they've got signs all over the place saying trucks and buses prohibited from the turn onto Irving and onto Canyon, which causes all sorts of other problems because now trucks come up here and say, I want to go up to Canyon Street or I want to go to Irving Street, and I can't go there to get there from here. They wind up winding through the neighborhood trying to find a way to get through town. So this would solve that problem very nicely. The third issue, of course, is the one we've talked about before, which is a safe way for pedestrians to get from Harbor Towers down to the bus stop here. This, as part of this project, there will be a sidewalk built. So there will be perfectly normal and safe passage from the Harbor Towers driveway down to the bus stop. Though this is all the work that's coming up next spring.
And by the way, that's for, they have large numbers of people that are disabled in wheelchairs, and so they need it wide enough for wheelchairs.
At the moment, we've got all the Jersey Wall barrier. The Jersey Wall barrier will go away, and there will be a sidewalk there. It'll be a vast improvement. So this is what I want not to be impeded in any way, and I don't see any reason why this should conflict.
No, as I see it, what we're talking about is that right now we have this, and what I think Ali was talking about is that if we're going to have traffic that is not funneled to here, but can choose to go down here, then the reconfiguration of the curb from here to up here can be altered. If we move the curb back down, to here, then it would be easy to switch traffic and preserve, in fact, substantial traffic movement onto Adams Mill and to Harvard. Actually, I would like to, if we vote on that, I would like to ask that this stretch of Adams Mill be renamed Harvard so that it's at this intersection, you know that you're part of the crosstown traffic. So it's this bump right here that I think is in the way. And why Ali says that if we don't pass this, well, then we are essentially foreclosing the millions of dollars it would take to change that would foreclose us dealing with this issue later. So may I call the question?
That's premature because we want to go back and
fine.
Modify the resolution to make it clear that we do not want the current project delayed.
Fine. And since I received assurances that if we act now from Ali, that it would not be, I'm happy to have that in. Dave.
There's a really steep hill there. You aren't saying we'll put a lane of traffic on that steep hill. There's a steep hill to the right all the way along Harvard there, which is now, I guess, Adams Mill.
Yes.
Yes.
We could start immediately and say we suggest that section of Adams will be renamed Harvard, because it's it in fact.
But where you were saying that bump was a problem, the reason that bump is there is because there's a disastrous drop.
Well, I'm not. What I was trying to indicate was that there's a curb and a fence there now, and. I could see us having a wide sidewalk there, but not that big of a bump. But let them play with that. I'm just looking for a policy statement, which is what Ollie said he needed. Yes, Jack.
Yeah, I will object to any attempt to change the name at this time.
Fine.
Because at this point, it's Adams Mill Road, continuing Adams Mill Road, continuing Addis Mill Road into Addis Morgan, even though the road is chopped up there with one block of Harvard Street. If you rename it Harvard Street, then when you're on Addis Mill Road, not Pleasant, how do you get to Addis Mill Road in Addis Morgan? There's no connection. So let's leave it as it is for the moment.
Let's talk about that later, yes. Okay. With this amendation, are we ready to vote?
Have we read through the...
INC1D resolves to advise. Jane, I didn't hear you.
That of the Harvard Street paragraph, Ward 1 should be capitalized. Is that right?
No, I don't know. Fine.
Oh, sorry.
That sure helps a lot, doesn't it?
What do you want to do, Jane?
Capitalize Ward 1 there. Like Dave and commas, I'm on the warpath against against the Germanification of our language. Fine. Ready to vote?
Not quite. In the first paragraph, where's the laser? Thank you. That both is awkwardly placed.
Change it.
It is both a narrow and
I said both is and then and is in order to indicate that these are parallel constructions. I had it the way you're suggesting it originally, but I changed it hopefully to make it a little easier to understand, that remove the ambiguity. But whatever. This is a collegial process.
I still contend that the residents of Harvard Street will not be pleased by this. But at this point, this is fairly academic.
Okay, I've talked with a lot of them, and almost universally, the ones I talk to say so, but let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay, we're ready to vote then? All hands, all in favor? 5-0.
I move we adjourn this meeting.
So we put off the Creative Alliance for the 6th month. Well, a motion to adjourn is always in order. Is there a second? Second? And we must, there's no discussion on this, so we move. All in favor of adjourning? All opposed? I wanted to get that last one.
4-1, right?
4-1. Thank you all. No. He screwed me out of my last resolution and now he wants my signature.
It's just eating up money to try to...